Very nice.
Shalom Aleichem Yechiel, a long time no see. For Parshas Ki Tovo. Now, I asked you to look at Tufshin Ayin Hey, am I correct?
Yeah.
I just want to point out that the Shvilei Pinchas has a number of different mamorim on the topic of Mikra Bikurim and the mitzvah of Vidui Bikurim. I found one of his essays last night that I was unaware of, which he gave apparently a year or two ago, also on the mitzvah Bikurim. And what I'd like to do is integrate these two essays together. So that, I apologize if you only have one of the two in front of you, but they're so similar, but yet I'm very excited about the one that's more recent. This one is already 4 years ago. The one that he gave 2 years ago, I would like to use just a few ideas. Give me, let's say, 8 to 10 minutes, and highlight those ideas that I think will form a background for what we want to study today. In the previous lecture that he gave, the earlier lecture, which we're going to study today, he's focused on Trumas Yedchem. The Torah calls Bikurim Trumas Yedchem. In the later Mamar, which you don't have in front of you, he's focused on another word, and that word is Hodah. Let's spell out the word Hodah. Hey, Vav, Dalet, Aleph, Hey. Just that we make sure we're all on the same page. Hodah, Hodah. In modern Hebrew, right? Hoda'ah means thanksgiving. However, Hoda'ah also means praise. And we find in our tefillos a whole bunch of different words for praise. For example, I'll read to you one piece from Shacharis. Lefichach anachnu chayovim lahodos, that's Hoda'ah. Ulishabeach, lefoer, lekadesh, leromim, levorech, lishmecha, etc. There are at least six different words here, and there are many, many more, for thanksgiving, for praising God. And the focus of this particular essay, again, that's the one he gave just 2 years ago, is what's unique about the word hoda'ah, which we find over and over again throughout Chazal. For example, the word vidui, which is Chazal's description of what goes on in this parsha, in Parsha's Ki Tovo, when he brings his bikurim, when he brings his ma'aser sheni, that word vidui comes from the word hoda'ah. And what he points out, and he's, again, the focus here is on what's unique about hoda'ah in this whole constellation of different forms of praise, l'shabeach, and lahalel, and levarech, and lekadesh, lialis, etc. That's the main thrust of this essay. He points out a very fascinating statement of Chazal, which I want to read to you. And this is called, and this is in the context of what's called a karban todah. Now again, a karban todah is brought for one of four different occasions, all of which he was saved. The Gemara brachos nudalid arba tzrichim lahodos. So the karban todah again comes from the word lahodos, and the shoresh of the word is hoda'ah. And then yor de'ayam, holke midbarios, mishayachol v'nisrapim, mishayachol v'shbeisim. In a word, anyone whose life was in danger and he was spared and saved, he would bring at the time of the Mikdash a Karban Todah, and today he would recite instead a Birkas Hodah, which is otherwise known as a Birkas HaGomel. Now Rashi points out that the phrase Karban Todah, this is Rashi over there, Brachos, which is also called the Zevach Toda. Rashi says Zevach shel tshuva v'hoda'a al avanosav. Now wait a second. The essence of this karbon is to thank Hashem. But Rashi identifies the word hoda'a, the word karbon toda, the Zevach itself, as hoda'a al avanosav, which basically means that he admits his sins. And Rashi calls it a zevach shel tshuva. Now, when I think of any carbon, I think of tshuva and kapar, but if I were to isolate the carbon of toda, I mean, the last thing in the world I would do would be associate carbon toda with vidui and confession of sin as part of the process of tshuva. I mean, you know, again, every karbon is part of the process of tshuva, but if I would isolate this karbon called the karbon todah, todah means to thank Hashem. It doesn't mean to confess one's crimes and do tshuva at a vidu. That's not the essence or the flavor or the character of a karbon todah. So this is a real pella. And to give you in a nutshell, the thrust of what the Shvilei Pinchas develops here, to me, again, it's a brilliant idea. I didn't want to miss this opportunity to share it with you because I'm very inspired by this idea, and to me it's brand new to make this connection between Hodah, which is thanks, and confession over sin, where the entire parasha of Vidui here, in the case of Bikurim and Maaser Sheni, is all about vidui, it's all about hodah. I understand hodah in the sense of thanksgiving, and a person wants to express their gratitude, he was saved, but why is it called hodah l'chet? And in order to understand this, he introduces two statements in Chazal, and the combination of thereof is going to produce a brand new idea for us. One is the statement of Chazal in Brachas Daf Samach Amid Beis, and the Gemara says that we only a Adam Ragil Lomar Kol Madi Avid Rachmana L'Tav Avid. We have to follow in the footsteps of Rabbi Akiva. Everything that happens to us is L'Tov. And then the Gemara says Chayev Adam Levarich Al Ra'ah Kishem Shemavarich Al Tova. Now the Gemara asks, what do you mean Kishem? How can you compare the bracha you make on Ra'ah to the bracha you make on Tova? They're two different brachas. On Tova, we recite Atova Meitiv, whereas on Ra'ah, we recite the bracha Baruch Dayan HaEmes. Omar Rava, so the Rava says, what's the kishem here in the underlying equation between bracha on Ra'ah and bracha on Tova? Says Rava, Lo Tzricha El L'Kibulei B'Simcha. Rashi says that he needs a bracha that's recited out of a sense of joy, which means he has to have the same level of simcha when he recites Baruch Dayan HaEmes as when he recites the Bracha Tova Meitiv. And many of the Farshim, and the head of them perhaps is Rav Chaim Ben Attar, the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, they ask, what does this mean? Chayiv levarach al ra'ah, k'shem shevarach ha'tova. The Gemara says, lekamle besimcha, to accept it besimcha. What are you nuts? I mean, unless you talk to Malachi Ashar, Hesir, but lo nit b'toral of Malachi Ashar, what kind of simcha can a person possibly derive from a ra'ah, something that's inherently evil? That's one Gemara. A Gemara in Brachos about the bracha that we recite on ra'ah. Now we want to see another Chazal and see if we can combine them together. This Chazal, give me a minute to find it because I just want to make sure we have all the sources quoted properly. Oh, this is a statement of Rav Yosef, and it appears in a Sugyan Erevin, in an Agadat in Erevin. The Gemara says the following, that David HaMelech in Tehillim says, Odcha ki anafta bi, which means that he's thanking Hashem for hitting him, so to speak, for bringing anguish upon him. So Rav Yosef darshins the following drasha. My dechsiv, Odcha Hashem ki anafta bi. And then at the end of the pasuk it says, Yashuv apchavit utenachameni. What's this Odcha thanking Hashem for what these terrible things that you brought upon me? And at the end of the pasuk it says it's a tanchumen, it's a consolation. But me'a kosim medaber b'shnei b'nei yodim sheyotzu l'schora yashav lo kotz li'echad mehem. So the Gemara in the name of Yosef tells a story about two partners, and they had both decided to take off on a ship, and they would go into the business of import and export, and they would have partnership, and they would divide up the profits. So what happened? One of them accidentally, he sat on a sharp object, and he had to go to the podiatrist, I guess. He got his foot caught in this thing, and as a result he missed the boat, literally. V'hischil mechari fumagadif. Could you imagine? This was his main opportunity. This is something that he worked a frenzy. You know, this was going to be the occasion where he would go with his friend. They were both great at business and they were going to make a killing. And he missed the boat. So he starts being mechari fumagadif. He starts Kaviyachol cursing God. He said, God, you're the evil one. How did you bring this upon me? This is terrible. I don't deserve this. Liyamim. Do you know the end of the Gemara? Liyamim, a few days later, he finds out, Shetova Asvino Bayam, everything went down when the ship sunk. Not only the Schera, but his partner, kaput. He started thanking God. And again, this reminds us, of course, I'm sure everyone in the room is already remembering what happened on 9/11. I remember, you know, amongst the, you know, the urban legends, you never know what's true about 9/11. One of the famous ones was that one of the boys in the Chabura worked for the railroad. They have a I forgot what it's called right now, the Jersey Transit or something, and they were yelling at him over and over again because the trains were always late, and it wasn't that it was his fault. I mean, he wasn't even the manager, but they had to blame someone. So he was one of the Chaburi, davening with them in the minyan, and every couple of days they would start yelling at him, what's with your trains, we always come late to work. And on that particular day they came back to him and they hugged him and they kissed him. Thank you for the fact that the train came late. But I never knew the Chazal had this in mind. And this, according to Rav Yosef, is the pasuk Odcha ki anafta bi. Here I was cursing you out, God. Why did you bring this upon me? I didn't deserve this. And Odcha, now he is praising Hashem. Ki yoshuv apcha utenachameni, that your anger was met out. You meted out your anger, and then I got a consolation. You consoled my soul. The answer to this, Rabosai, is, and it's an unbelievable yisod, in Dine Momentus we have a principle called Hodas Bal Din Kimea Edim Dom. You say that I owe you 1,000. I say, no, I only owe you 500. Right? Some Chayvus Shvuas Modem Mitzas. That's called Hodas Bal Din. On the 500, I admit, I confess. I know I owe it to you. When a person experiences some sort of a negative experience, some sort of a chashom, a painful anguish, or maybe even a calamity. So the first thing he does is he denies it. What do you mean he denies it? He denies that he has any responsibility for this. He's got to blame someone. So he either blames his friend who works for the train company, or he blames the Almighty God. Harezach Machari from Agadev. Little does he know that this is part of a divine plan that's meant to bring him good. So Odcha Hashem, now that I see in retrospect, Ki Anafta Bi, that I missed the boat, now I can thank you, because Hashem, I realize in retrospect, in hindsight, what you did for me. You saved my life. I would have gotten on that boat and I would have died together with everyone else. So what he does is, in this particular context, is he begins to say that God brought about some suffering and a great disappointment, and it's something for his benefit, something for greatness. You know, imagine the case. I'm just going to throw out a theoretical example. No one should apply this in any real situation. Imagine the case of someone who lives in Israel and runs a yeshiva, and something happens, something goes wrong. As a result, he ends up in Toronto, Canada, and he makes a lot of friends. And 10 years later, he's still meeting with them on a Skype in the Planka residence. I mean, Odcha Ki Anafta Bi, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, what goes on over here? I spent 18 years of my life in Mevaseret. So this is an unbelievable Hodas Baal Din. Hodas Baal Din means when I experience this push, you know, this shove from Hashem, and I'm suffering something, I have to admit that I deserve it. Says the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, and this is in Parshas Tetzaveh, why is it that you have to have the same simcha when you mevarech al ra'ah that you have when you mevarech al tova? And he says something unbelievable. He says, where's the simcha? How can you be besimcha when this terrible thing happened to you? And the answer is, because you're besimcha because you realize that God is sending you a message, that there's a direct communication between God and you. And this is all part of a process of kapara. So in two ways, we can really appreciate the ra'ah. And as difficult as it is, you have to be like a malachi asharis in order to have that simcha. But number one, you may believe that it's all for your benefit, and somehow later, only retroactively, you'll be able to appreciate that God brought this about for you. Or two, maybe it's a message that you have to get, you know, wake up out of your slumber, and it's about time that you made a reckoning and realized that this suffering is not mechari from God. Don't blame Almighty God. You brought it upon yourself. Whatever you did, God is sending you a message. It's time that you do better. It's time that you overcome your deficiencies and your limitations and reach your potential. And this, my friends, is a whole new pshat on the word hodah. Hodah milashon lahodos ala emes. Hodas Baal Din. Why am I thanking Hashem? Because I realize that I deserved what I got, and I've bettered myself, I've done tshuva, and now Hashem, you've done some great things for me. But it's interesting, because as it turns out, let's say for example, our brother Tzarech Lahodas, one of them is a Cholish and Israpa. His Hodah is not just a hodah on the ripui, on the fact that now he can get out of the hospital bed, and Baruch Hashem, he's walking on 2 feet, but his hodah is on the choli itself. Why? Because he's admitting that the choli is something that was part of a divine plan, and he deserved it. And now he's thanking Hashem both for the choli, which in a sense, you know, projected him to do tshuva, and for the opportunity to be saved by Hashem, and that great chesed that Hashem healed him. And this is true for each one of the four cases. There's a hodas Baal Din kimei ha'edim domi. And he's being moda on the ra'ah. And perhaps that's what Arami Ovid Avi, you know, we read this parsha of Vidui Bikurim on Leil HaPesach. Maybe what we're saying is, God, not only are we going to thank you tonight, on the night of Pesach for Yetzias Mitzrayim, but we're going to thank you even for the Golus itself. And this is an amazing perception that a person could be consoled by the evil that befalls upon him. Says the Aruch Chaim, what is that consolation? What does it mean, ki nichamtani? It's because, God, you're giving me an opportunity for kapara. Imagine if a person, Chas v'Shalom, had a sin, he was guilty of a crime, and he had no possibility of kapara. That would be horrendous. That would be the worst. So that in every case in which we are moda and we recite a thanksgiving, because a negative situation was turned around, perhaps we can never appreciate all that God does for us. But at least we can admit that God is doing something for us. He's involved in our lives. And that admission is a great key to success. And the fascinating thing is that Rashi, in the beginning of Parashas Kisavo, when he speaks about the pasuk V'amarta Elov, and you speak to Hashem, and you when you bring the Bikurim, and you say, Higadati Hayom, etc., etc., what's V'amarta Elov? Says Rashi, She'eno Kofli Tova. He's not an ingrate. Now, if you or I would have written the Rashi, we wouldn't have said, Eino Kofli Tova. We'd have said, Who Makir Tov? But the answer is, we cannot be Makir Tov. Because we don't know what is going on behind the scenes. What's going on up there in the heavenly court. We can never appreciate what it's all about and what the plan is. So you can't really be a Makir Tov. No one could be a Makir Tov. What we can say is about ourselves, we're not Kofli Tov, that we realize and acknowledge that this is part of a plan, that God is doing this for our benefit. And this is what Chazal say. It's a Gemara Nida. Even someone who experiences a miracle, he doesn't even know about the miracle. Little does he know that he passed by, and then 5 minutes later something fell from the heavens, and God spared him of this catastrophe. Little does he know that he couldn't get on the ship because God did a miracle for him. And God gave him a thumbtack in his tush, and therefore he couldn't get on the boat. Little does he know that that is a great miracle that God brought about for him. And that's called Balanese no Makir Beniso. So we go through life and we don't appreciate what's going on, that there is something here. And at the best, we can hope to be an Eino Kofli Tova. At least we can acknowledge that God, I don't appreciate, I can't understand, I can't acknowledge everything that you're doing for me. But what I do know is that you've projected me far, far onto the line of Kapara and Tshuva and all this Ra'ah is meant to be Tova, and it's part of a divine plan. And when you begin to weave together all these things, and the fact that Chazal always speak about Hodah, they had so many choices of words to express thanksgiving. Shevach and Levarech and Lekadesh and Lealev, so many words. But they choose the word Hodah because the word Hodah is more than just thanksgiving. It's thanksgiving for the entire scenario, the entire Shachar V'Tarya, every stage of the game. I'm thanking Hashem because I'm admitting that it's all part of what Hashem wants to do for me. It's all part of a nechama, and it's all part of a kapara process. And therefore, when a person brings his Ma'aser Sheni, a Bir Ma'aser Sheni, or Bikurim, and he says to Hashem, here I am bringing my Bikurim, here I am with my Ma'aser Sheni, and I've done everything, Kechal Asher Tzivisani, and the Mishnah calls that Vidui. Vidui is Milashon Hodah, because what he's admitting is, he worked very hard. We're not farmers. Is anyone here in the room who ever worked as a farmer? No? There are plenty of farmers in Canada, right? But those who are in farming know how much work goes in. Until you see that first fruit grow on the tree, you put in endless hours of tiring anguish. And it's you're working in the hot sun. Okay, oh, that's rare. Okay, but anyway, the month of July at least. Okay, fine. And you sweat and toil, and you bring the first fruit. That's going to be a vidui. Why is it going to be a vidui? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I appreciate retroactively that all the sweat and toil, all the terrible anguish, and I went to sleep at night and I was afraid that maybe the field will be inundated, and I didn't do enough planting, enough harvesting, I didn't bring in enough irrigated water or the chemicals to kill all the attacks that they, I didn't do enough. I'm going through this fright. That's what agriculture is all about. There's no one guaranteed anything at the end of the day. But Hashem, I can be moda. Hodas baldin, I admit that all this was worth it. It's all part of a plan. I'm now not only thanking you, for the new fruits, I'm thanking you for all the work that I put in. Bigolafum tzara agra, and this is all part of a kapara. And by the way, just to mention on the side, my Rebbe used to always say, he would ask the question, what about anguish that a person brings upon himself? In a footnote, I would add 90% of the anguish we suffer is self-imposed. We're all a bunch of worrywarts. Like my father used to say, that in the old days they used to send telegrams. So the guy, you know, he hears a knock on the door, and it's Union Telegraph. He's bringing a telegram. So he right away he goes into a fright. You know, who died? Instead, the telegraph was to tell him that he was appointed as the vice president of his company. They wanted to notify him by telegraph. But we have a tendency of being overwhelmed by fear and anxiety. These anxieties are self-imposed. And when Chazal say Yisurim Mechaprim, the Rav used to say, okay, I understand Yisurim Mechaprim in the case of divinely brought anguish. You know, something happens, a calamity, that's Yisurim Mechaprim. But when you're responsible for bringing about your own Yisurim, can you then say that Yisurim Mechaprim, that you undergo a catharsis and a purification because of the anguish and the anxiety that you brought upon yourself? And the Rav said something very frightening. He said, here's the difference between Beis HaMikdash and after Churban. When the Mikdash stood, the Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippurim would send a Sazir LaZazil. That Sazir LaZazil represents all of the anguish that man brought upon himself. Have you ever seen it, Rabosai? It's in Peli's book, Al HaTshuva. It's a beautiful piece. And he based himself on the Ramban, of course. So back in the day, when there was a Kohen Gadol and this was Sari HaMishtaleach, we had an opportunity to transform Yisurim that was self-imposed to the level of Yisurim HaMechaprim and achieve the Kapara of Yitzuvah Shel Yom through the Sari HaZazel, even for Yisurim that were brought upon ourselves. But today, so this is something we want to add to Atfilos, you know, when we recite three times a day, Yiratzon, that God should bring about Yibana Beis HaMikdash. We were waiting desperately for the Sayyam and Shalef, because so much of our nervous tension is about, you know, who won the Israeli elections, you know? Yeah. Okay, now, let's, in the context of that framework, of that background, let's go back to Tufshin Ayin Het. That's the mimer that you have in front of you. And as I said at the outset, here we're interested in a different phrase, a different word, not the word hodah and vidui as a form of thanksgiving to Hashem, and it's the ultimate form of thanksgiving. It's greater and supersedes shevach and bracha and lefayel, leromem, everything leads up to lahodos. When we have a hodos badin, we thank Hashem not only for the salvation but also for the suffering. Now we focus on a different word, and we're going to read the parasha. V'hoya ki tovoy la'aretz. Everything is about Eretz Yisrael, and v'yarashta v'yishavta ba v'lakachta mireishis kol pri adama asher tovi mi'atzacha asher Hashem akech noten lecha. Fine, you bring it with all the pomp and ceremony in a very special utensil, a receptacle called the tenet. And v'alachta l'amokom asher yivchar Hashem alukech l'shakin shmo sham. Then, what do you do with these bikurim? U'basel l'kohen asher yeh b'yomim ha'em v'yomar te'ilov. He got it t'yayom l'Hashem alukech ki basi ala aretz asher nishba Hashem avosech alosais lanu v'lakach ha'kohen ha'tenem yodecha. So there's a tremendous emphasis here on the Yisrael, the Balasad who's bringing his first fruits in a receptacle, and now the Kohen is taking, he's receiving this receptacle. So Rashi comments, Adam yored l'soch sadehu, a man goes down to his field, he sees a te'ena, a fig, shebichra, meaning it's ripe, korecha le'agumi l'simon, so he ties a rubber band around it, and he makes a simon, v'yomer ha'reza bikurim, he's makdish the the te'ena shebichras bikurim, and then it says v'lakacha kohen miyadecha. The kohen will receive this receptacle with the te'ena shebichra in it. And what's the purpose of the kohen? What is he? What is he accomplishing here when he receives this tene? So Rashi says, Lahanif oso. Now, it's not clear at this point, we'll clarify in just a second, who is the subject of this Rashi, Lahanif oso? He's got to shake it, he's got to wave it. Who is waving the Bikurim, this Te'ena Shebichra? So Rashi, the next sentence, he says, Kohen meiniach yado tachas yad bailim umeinif. It means that the bailim themselves do the tenufa, but for some strange reason, and Rashi gets into the nuances here, the Kohen has to put his hands underneath the yad bailim, as if to say, to participate with this tenufa. And how important is this tenufa of lifting up the Bikurim, the Teina Shebichra, and waving it? We'll take a look at the next pasuk. The next pasuk in Chumash says, "Va'aveisem shama lo seichem v'zivcheim v'esmaso seichem v'es trumas yadechem." And Rashi says, "Trumas yadchem elu abikurim." When the Torah speaks about a whole list of different kinds of korbanos and meiser and adarim that you bring to the Beis Hamikdash, it mentions something called Trumas Yedchem. What is Trumas Yedchem? I mean, Truma, there's no mitzvah of Havoyal HaMikdash in Truma. So what's, and Chala, so what's Trumas Yedchem? Rashi says, Eilu HaBikurim. Why is Bikurim, when it's brought to the Mikdash, called Trumas Yedchem? Rashi says, Shedem HaVem V'lakacha Kohen HaTen of Yadecha. Everything is about Yadechem. And taking the Bikurim from your hand. Very strange. I mean, the main mitzvah is tnufa. Yeah, I would have called it tnufas. You know, trumas tnufa. Well, trumas yedchem. I mean, the whole emphasis here is on the lifting the yadayim. It doesn't say haramas habikurim, but it says yedchem, trumas yedchem. What's the emphasis here on the yadayim? And furthermore, we want to ask, why is it necessary for the Kohen to place his hands underneath the Yad Bailim in order to achieve the Tnufa? Couldn't the Bailim achieve this on their own? I mean, a Te'ena is not that heavy. By the way, on the side, there are many, many fruits, Shenishtavku ben Eretz Yisrael, and the strange thing is that when Chazal pick out one of these fruits and they choose one, they could have chosen out of a hat of a box, they choose Te'ena. Now, I happen to be a big fan of figs. I don't know if you guys like figs. My wife doesn't let me eat them. That's the only problem. So I have to find a secret place to, you know, lock myself in a closet to eat figs. Because she thinks all figs are full of bugs. And of course, she thinks I'm blind, so I can't find the bugs. That she's definitely right. But no way I can find the bugs. But anyway, what's up with te'ena, fig? So just as a footnote, I mean, this is not in the Maamar here. There are many opinions in the Gemara Brachos about what the Eitz Hadas was. And one of the opinions, I think it's Rabbi Yehuda, he's of the opinion that it was a te'ena, it was a fig. And he comes to that conclusion because in the very next chapter in Genesis, it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made for them, from Ole te'ena, he made for them levush when they realized they were naked. And it's dafka Ole te'ena, so it's the same te'ena tree that they ate from. So it could be that Mikra Bikuria, that the mitzvah Bikurim, is somehow related to a tikkun for the chait of Adam HaRishon, and that's why Chazal emphasized the te'ena. Again, it could be any one of the fruits, Shenishtavchem ben Eretz Yisrael. So what's this emphasis here in the context of Bikurim on Trumas Yedchem? What's that is Trumas Yedchem? Why that? I mean, you could talk about Hanofas Yedchem, but Trumas Yedchem and Hanofas Bikurim, maybe it should have said Hanofas Bikurim, because after all, the Tnufa is being done on the Bikurim, and the phrase Trumas Yedchem doesn't even mention the Bikurim. It says Truma of lifting your dying. So the key to understand this lies in the Sefer Achinuch. And the Sefer Achinuch, Mitzvah Tav Resh Vav, the Mitzvah of bringing Bikurim, Mikra Bikurim, Misharshah Mitzvah, what are the roots of the Mitzvah, the deeper meaning? Because Lefisha Adam Ma'orer Machshavosov Umitzayer Belivavo HaEmes Bekoach Divrei Piv. When a person recites a parsha in the Torah as part of a ritual, as part of a mitzvah, the recitation itself is meant to uplift him. to arouse his machshavos. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, look, I've bestowed upon you this great gift. You entered into the land of Israel, you toiled, you worked, and now you produced fruit. Here's the first fruit. I blessed you with these fruits. And now I bless you with the opportunity of fulfilling a great mitzvah and bring this first fruit to the Beis HaMikdash. At this point, you should use your mouth to inspire yourself. This is a moment, a very rare moment, once a year in the Beis HaMikdash. Don't lose the opportunity to inspire yourself. And your recitation is meant la'orer libcha v'lachshav ki akol higia lov me'es adona olam. That just like God brought you to the land and He gave you the abilities to plant the land and to harvest the land and now you have the first fruits, please recognize that everything you have, it's all a gift from Hashem. And therefore the Mikra Bikurim is l'saper chasadov, to express and enunciate all the great chesed that Hashem has bestowed upon us, the great advantages. And you should mention all of Klal Yisrael, because we all came into the land. And therefore he begins with Yaakov Avinu, and he goes back into history. And at that stage, after reading the Mikra Bikurim, he's ready to be Menif the Bikurim, the Shevach Hashem, appreciating God's goodness. And now he asks that Hashem should continue bestowing upon his goodness. And the Minchas Chinuch ends this paragraph by saying, Umitochis Oris Nafsho, as a result of awakening his own soul, B'Shevach Hashem V'tuvo, and recognizing that everything that he has is from God, Zoche U'misbareches Arzo. Hashem promises, I will bless your land, and God wants to give chesed, and He gives you this opportunity. Now, what is the purpose of the Minchas Bikurim? Why is it called Trumas Yedchem? And in the context of this amazing presentation of the Sefer HaChinuch, we can begin to understand in a very new way why the Bikurim is called Trumas Yedchem. What does it mean that you are waving your hands and the emphasis is on your hands? And the answer lies in Parshas Vayeschanan. He shamalecha pen tishkach as Hashem Elokecha pen tochal v'savata. It's so tempting that when you enjoy the fruits of your labor and you're satiated and you're in the land of Israel, you built houses. Again, who could afford that? I don't know. But even to buy an apartment here, you have to be a rich person. But anyway, so ubatim tovim tivne v'yashavta, ubekarcha v'tzonacha yirviyun, v'kesev v'zoyar v'lecha, v'rom levovcha v'shachachtas Hashem Elokecha. You're so full of yourself. And you think, wow, I got all these great things. Amarta bilvovcha, you speak to yourself. Kochi v'otzim yadi, look at your hands, and you begin to think that it's all in your hands, that everything that you've gained and all your profits is a result of your labor, of your hands. It's a result of Yigia Kapecha, and it's your Yadayim. Kochi v'otzim yadi asali yisachayel zeh. The antidote is Mikra Bikurim. The Mikra Bikurim is meant to convey the message and inspire you that everything comes from Hashem. Don't point to your hands and say, Kochi v'otzim yadai, yadi, my yad, Asali Yisachel said. No, it came from Hashem. And when Shlomo HaMelech in Koheles speaks about Ra'a Chola, a diseased mind, Ra'isi Takas HaShemesh, who is it? It's a person who is Osher Shamur Lebailov L'Ra'aso. He is so sick that he takes all his possessions and he hoards them, he keeps them for himself. Kesef is ahav, he's not willing to share it with anyone because he thinks it's all his. Why should I give it to you? I worked hard for it. You go get a job. He forgets one element in the one variable in the equation, and that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him all of this. It's the koach, not from his own two hands, but from Hashem. Now, if you happen to have the text in front of you, I think the most important paragraph in this entire essay is on the left column, the second paragraph on page 1. And he says the following. When the Torah warns him, in the case of Tochal v'savato, batim tovim, and zavikesev, etc., the Torah says, Kochi v'otzem yadi asa liyasachayel azeh. Take a look at that word yadi. The word yad is 14. If you double it, because you have two yadayim, then you end up with 28. 28 is koach. When a person looks at his yadayim, and he thinks his yadayim is a product of his own labor, and he leaves that and ignores one extra element, the most important variable in the equation, that's Almighty God, then it becomes kochi. It becomes my koach. That's the problem. And now we need some sort of antidote to the yodayim of kochi, that it's a product of my hands. And as we saw before in the Sefer HaChinuch, the purpose of reciting the Mikra Bikurim is to inspire us and penetrate into our hearts, Li'ora Levavo, Bidvar Piyu, that Hakol Higia Elav Me'es Adon Olam. That everything that he's got, all of the gifts that he's received, it's all from Hashem. It's not his own work. And therefore, Yisaper Chasodov, the whole purpose of Mikra Bikurim is to go back in Jewish history and speak about the fact that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim and He brought us to the land, and appreciate in a broader context all the chasodim that Hashem has bestowed on us. But the main purpose is la'orar b'levavo b'divrei piyu v'lachsho ki akol higia elav me'es adon ha'olam. And that's the antidote against kochi v'yotzem yadi. A person comes into the land and he's satiated and he's full of himself and he thinks, well, I can only be proud of my accomplishments. And the moment he utters the words, my accomplishment, it's yadai. It's kochi v'yotzem yadi, my two yadayim. That's the koach. He forgets Hashem. He omits Hashem from the equation. And it's very interesting that the mitzvah of Mikra Bikurim is chal after the Jewish people enter into the land, not during the 40 years in the Midbar, because in the 40 years in the Midbar, there was no kochi v'yotzem yadi. No one would be able to say that. All the sustenance came from Shemayim in the form of man. There was no danger or threat for a Jew to claim that, the Yetzirah to convince him that it's a product of his own labor. But they entered into the land, no more man, and instead of man, they have to go through the entire process of agriculture. And they start with Harisha, and they plow the land, and then Zriya, and Ashka, and Ktsira. The whole 9 yards, and it's all kochi v'yotzem yadi. Here's where the threat comes in. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, Kayaki tovoel aretz. You came into the land, and God gave you the land as a nachla v'yirishta. And now you have the fruits, the first fruits on your tree, is v'lakachta me'rishis kol pri adama asher tovi mi'artzecha. Be very careful. Before you get involved in kochi v'yotzem yadi, before you start bragging and boasting about all the money that you've amassed and all the money that's in the bank and you want to hoard it for yourself, get a message here. And the message here is go up to the Beis HaMikdash and declare that everything that you have is a gift from Hashem. And here's where the Kohen helps him out a little bit. The Yisrael, the Bailim, lift up the Truma, lift up the Bikurim. And here's where the danger is. When you lift up with two Yadayim, the Bikurim, then there's a threat, there's a possibility of a danger that you might say, Kochi v'yotzem yadi, that same Koach, twice Yad, is my Koach. And the answer is no. When you lift it up to Hashem, what you're doing is you're saying that this comes from you, God. It's not kochi v'yotzem yadi. And here's where the Kohen is inspiring him. The Shevet Kohuna, who brings bracha from Hashem, that's their tafkid, who's going to be The agent, the kohen, is the agent to bring all the karbanos on the Beis HaMikdash and all forms of kapara. And the kohen says, I'm going to put my hands under your hands. And what's it going to be? It's going to be Se'u Yedeichem Kodesh. The hands are going to be lifted towards Hashem in a declaration, not in words, but in action, that it all comes from Hashem. And this is something fascinating that we find in the case of Avram and Sdom. You know, the Yetzirah works overtime. The Yetzirah comes to Avram and says, you won this battle. Take the booty. Take all the riches for yourself. And the Yetzirah thinks that he has Avram at a very weak moment. And Vayomer Melech Sdom el Avram. Again, the Yetzirah appears in the guise of Melech Sdom. Harachush kach loch. Take the rechush. I'll take the nefesh. Vayomer Avram el Melech Sdom. Hari mosi yadai el Hashem. Kel elyon kone shamayim v'aretz. I lift up my hands to God because I declare that everything is yours, God. And therefore I'm not tempted by you, Melech Sdom, to get involved in amassing wealth and taking all the possession, all the booty. In lichot v'atzoch now, I don't even want a shoelace from you. I don't want you to tempt me and say, Anochi asharti es Avram, which is what the Yetzer always says. The Yetzer tells you to be distracted by your wealth and point to yourself or to someone around you who you think has helped you, and that's all you have to say. Nothing else. You're not going back to the source of it. Bikesh Melech Sdom lahachnis belibo shel Avram chemdas hamamon. That was the purpose of the Melech Sdom, who is really, in truth, the Yetzirah. But Avram Avinu rises above it all. Hari Mosi es yadi el kel el Hashem kel elyon. And he says, "B'chol ma'isi yadai, whatever I accomplish with my hands, kol ma'ashani poel ba'olam, ani merim es yadai l'Hashem. Kidei lakor mikach kol hirhur kfira shel kochi v'yotzim yadi. In order to undermine any possible claim that I relate or I attribute my success to my two hands, kochi v'yotzim yadi, legalus b'kach es emunasi b'bchinas v'zachartas Hashem Elokecha. I remember God and I never forget Him. I don't omit or ignore God from the equation. And this perhaps is what the Gemara tells us at the end of Ksumas about Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, that when he was about to leave this world, zokaf eser etzvaosav klapi mala, he turns his two hands, his 10 fingers, towards the Ribbono Shel Olam. V'yomar, and he declares, Ribbono Shel Olam, goli v'yadu lefanecha, sheyagati b'yeser atzvaosai. I worked very hard. Rebbe was a very wealthy individual. But v'lo nesi, I didn't take it for myself. And Rashi explains, based on the sugya in Brachos Nun Zayin, that what exactly was Rebbe trying to convey? Shelo posak, Mishul Chanam, that even though Rebbe had Ashiris Gedola, according to one opinion, his Ashiris was even greater than Antinonos. Anyway, what did he do with his funds? He dedicated them for the service of Hashem. He wasn't selfish, because when a person thinks it's Kochi V'yotzim Yadi, he wants to hoard it for himself. I worked for it. Why should I share it with anyone else? But Rebbe lifts up his Yadayim, Eser Etzba'osav Klapei Mala, and he declares that I have taken this mammon and it really belongs to you, Hashem. You have made me an agent. I am only your representative on this world. I will do it the mammon as best as I can to share it with others. And that's why the Gemara says he's called Rabbeinu HaKadosh. The Kedusha is that he doesn't want to take things for himself. And he could justify it by saying, I want to enjoy the pleasures of this world because I worked very hard for this. So the Torah says in the midst of Bikurim, Trumas Yedchem. Truma means something that uplifts you. Yedchem. What is the Yadayim? Well, it could go either way. It could either be Kochi V'otzim Yadi, or it could be Aramtias Yadi, like Avram Avinu declares. And it all comes from you. Or the way we saw in the Sefer HaChinuch, Hakol higia elav me'es Adona olam. And here's where he comes through in flying colors, and he fulfills the mitzvah because it's a mitzvah trumas yedchem. The adayim are going to be uplifted, and with the help of the kohen, because sometimes a person gets a little weak when he realizes, oh no, the statement that I'm making, this declaration, has far-reaching implications. You know, I was thinking of going on a very long trip and spending, you know, $50,000 to go to Orlando, Florida for Pesach. And now I'm saying, well, maybe I should spend that money in a different way because, you know, there's no kochim yotzev yadi. It's trumas yedchem. So if he's faltering and if he's shaking a little bit when he's making this declaration, he needs the support of the kohen, who is going to lift up his hands in the truma, in a tnufa. But the emphasis here is on yedchem, not trumas bikurchem, but trumas yedchem, the adayim. And just to end for today, I want to talk to you for just a moment about Mayim Achronim. The Gemara says in Brachos, Mayim Achronim Chova. And the purpose of Mayim Achronim is to remove...
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
What about the... I'm sorry, before you get to the end with regards to Mayim Achronim, we still have the fig. Why the fig?
No, I just stated a footnote on my own that the chait of the Eitz Hadas was kochi v'yotzem yadi, meaning that Adam HaRishon thought that everything is coming to him. You know, God put me in this world, I'll take it all for myself, and he rebels against God. And it turns out to be a te'ena. Again, why a te'ena, I can't tell you. But our Havas Bikurim, again, it's from all seven minim, but the Mishnah emphasizes dafka the te'ena. Maybe this process of admitting that everything and recognize everything comes from God is a tikkun on the Eitz Hadas, because you can't just use everything the way you want to use it. You know, you want to have pleasure and enjoy Orlando, but maybe you have to think about it. Okay, I'm not saying you shouldn't go to Orlando. I mean, there's a lot of good things in Orlando. I think, if I'm not mistaken, they have already 12... I wasn't there, but I had the 12 kosher restaurants. A lot of good things going on in Orlando. Or Las Vegas. Right? People are making big bucks in Las Vegas. Who would believe that there are over 12 shuls in Las Vegas today? Orthodox shuls. It is one of the fastest growing communities in the entire America. But hopefully, all the money that they're making, it's not kochi v'yotzem yadi. I mean, in the case of gambling, obviously it's not kochi v'yotzem yadi. I mean, I don't know. There are some theories that you can win in poker if you're very clever. I don't know. To me, it's all in the deck and whatever Hashem gave you. But just to complete our discussion for today, with the concept of Mayim Achronim, which is keneged Melech Sdomis. And Sdom was the epitome of everything that I have, I'm hoarding it for myself. The worst aver in Sdom was somebody who shared his possessions with others or invited guests into his house. We have to cleanse ourselves of Melech Sdomis. And that's why this mitzvah is a chova, and it comes under, according to the Gemara in Brachos Nun Gimel, Viskadashtem. What's this kadashtem? You sanctify yourself and you uplift yourself through two netilas yadayim. One is before the meal and one is after the meal. Before the meal, you want to make sure that you're not mitami truma because yadayim shnios la rayos, l'tumah. And the netila after the meal, that's to add an extra element of kedusha. And why do we need that sanctity? Because we filled our bellies, and we get the feeling that, you know, we're satiated. And the Torah says, be careful when you're satiated. Pentishkach, v'pentochal v'savata, and then kochi v'yotzem yodi. When a person is opulent and he's enjoying the good life, that's when it's most tempting, where the Yetzara says, well, you only have a million, you got to get 2 million, you have 10 million, you got 20 million, that's called chemdas ha-mamon, and you'll never be satiated, never be satisfied. But it's always the attitude of hoarding it for yourself. We have to see ourselves as agents of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But first, and this is what Mikra Bikurim is about, to make the declaration and the acknowledgement, HaKol Higia Elav Me'es Adon HaOlam. Yemir Hashem, if we'll allow the message of what we call HaRomas HaYadayim, of Trumas Yedchem, and the message of Avraham Avinu of Iramfi Yisyodi El Kael Bashamayim Koni Shamayim Va'aretz, if we'll allow that message to penetrate into our hearts and our souls, then we will reach the level of God, all that I have in my Yadayim is from you. That's the Tnufa. I will not allow myself to be dragged down to Kochi V'Otzim Yadi, and that will give me the ability to have a perception and of appreciation for everything that God has given to me. And if we reach that level of Mirtz Hashem, we'll see the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, when we could really bring the Bikurim Kipshuto, not just the Drosh V'Kabel Schar, to the Kohen, and we'll, each and every one of us will do a Tnufas HaYodayim to lift our hands with a Kedusha, with a Tara to Hashem, and say, God, all that I have is from you. The Kohen will be there to help us, and that should come about from here of Yomenu. Amen. Thank you very much.